Isaiah 66 is our introduction for tonight. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Yeah, 1 and 2. Three parts to our night tonight. This part, introduction, Pastor Love's going to give us a report from the youth rally this past weekend, which was a great success. Then comes, and we'll do the offering. Pastor Steve will do that with the any announcements that he has. Then after the offering, I'll speak again about India and play that video again, and we'll just do part two of that. And then the third part of the night is Federal Hill Church is doing a water baptism. And so Pastor Justin and the folks are going to do that tonight at the end of our night. So what is common with the youth who went to Pennsylvania, a group of us went to India, and Federal Hill that's doing a water baptism? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Read the verse with me, Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the house that you build unto me? O Lord, isn't it in Jerusalem? Where is the house that we build unto you? Isn't it the temple in Jerusalem? Or how about, do you have a temple in India? Do you have a house in Geneva, Switzerland? Do you have the Pope, the Vatican, and the Pope, the house there? Or some other house, some temple somewhere? Where is the house? What is he saying here? I have, the whole universe is mine. What little house have you made for me? For I fill all of heaven and earth and every part of it. But I am looking for a place to rest. Verse 1, where is the place of my rest? What do you think the answer is? Verse 2, for all those things is my hand made, meaning the whole universe, all the rivers and the mountains, all the buildings, the bricks, the stone, everything. I've all made it, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this will I look. This is my treasure. What? A man. We could say a Messiah, the Messiah. That's the one that I'm looking for. I'm looking for a man, verse 2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Now, in the last few days, I've been thinking of that phrase, trembles at my word, really respects my word, is submitted to my word. That's all. That's what changes us. That's what we have by our new birth. Christ is in us, and we are submitted to God. And God is saying, that's my house. That's the place of my rest. That's where people agree with me. That's where the anointing, that's where I send my spirit. Do you think that happened in Pennsylvania? Where these young people listening to God's word, maybe they're having a lot of fun and there's a campfire, perhaps we'll hear about it. Do you think a young man or a young woman this past weekend heard something and it was planted in their heart? Do you think in India where we were that there are Indians that have heard and God is saying that that's the place of my rest? In the heart of that man that is respecting my word and hearing my word, and I am dwelling there. We have been bought with a price. Christ paid a price for us. We are his habitation. We are his people. We are his church. Do you think the people in Federal Hill have been hearing God's word and it's been affecting their lives and changing them? And that some of them say, I want to go forward with God and I want to be water baptized because it is written in the Bible. I want to follow God by faith. All these expressions of God's grace that happened to us in the ministry through the years is just the result of God's word. And people with a contrite spirit saying, let it be according to your word. I believe you. Welcome, Pastor Love.
Good evening. I think you could say all of the prayers for this weekend were answered. So if you were one of those people that prayed for the weekend, thank you so much. And if some of you, of course, supported, gave, made it possible for some of these young campers to go, it was just incredible. But I think it's wise to have all of the all of the youth leaders, the youth pastors, the youth workers, the counselors all stand up, because these are the ones that made it happen. So everybody stand up. Pastor Pete's there. We got Marty Viator out of the Mothballs, and we brought him. It was just a tremendous time, and I believe so many wonderful things happened in their lives. But to have that generation there, for that weekend, without all of the typical distractions that otherwise they would have in their lives, it was incredible. They heard from so many different portions. We had youth leaders and youth pastors from different parts of the country, Pennsylvania, New York State, Massachusetts, of course, right here from Baltimore. And so many issues were addressed, so many critical issues were addressed. And challenged. They were challenged. They were built up. They were encouraged. And many great things happened. I don't even think that we can say what they all are now. But the one thing that did not happen, we did not get any sleep at all. No sleep. There was no sleep. Because I remember, early in the morning, you wake up very early, you look out the window, and those young people, they have so much energy. They're out there in the fields, or they're playing on the basketball courts. And then, one night, it's 11:30 at night, and of course, the courts are all lit. You would have thought it was the middle of the day. Endless, endless energy. And you just have to go and tell them, at midnight, you really should go in your cabin and get some sleep now. Oh, couldn't we play for a few more hours? They would, if you let them. But the whole weekend was just amazing. We didn't have the best weather. We had a lot of rain, but it didn't dampen any of our plans or anything that we had. There were times of worship, early morning prayer meetings, messages that seemed to hit the target with all of these young people. And based upon all of those youth leaders and all of those young people that left the camp today, they all said the same thing. This was incredible. And the best thing about it was we haven't been able to do it for a couple of years. So for everybody to be able to come back and to be together and to worship together, it was just outstanding. So thank you so much, all those. Pardon? I'm sorry. See, that's what happens when you don't get sleep. You start hearing things. Sorry. Awesome time. Thank you to all the staff. They lay down their lives. They lay down their lives and invest and love and care and don't get sleep and don't get any rest. But they all say the same thing. It's worth it because we're pouring the life of Christ into the next generation and preparing them to lead the church in a world that needs the church to lead them. Amen. Thank you so much for your prayers.
Let's try to do the map again. we tried this morning, and with how about the folks that went with me on the trip? Would you stand up, the brothers that went? Jonathan, Jean Moore, Yvonne, I think is in maybe Frederick. Audrey from France came. Pastor Ellis and Andrew Silva. There was six, I think, of us, right? And we flew to Mumbai, so here's the city, Mumbai, years ago. And by the way, I'm sorry I don't mention everybody that was involved in our history of missions in India. I know Pastor Suhas Anana, Scotty Dubé's brother, Ronnie, Rebecca's dad, Rebecca Post's dad. There was a brother, Steve, years ago. Many people have worked and lived by faith and made the effort. It's a subcontinent area with 1 billion people, not largely Hindu. Very different in its way of thinking. The people are very precious. Somebody asked me, what's the best thing about India? I go, the people I just enjoy very much. And we started going in 1983. God did, to make a long story short, the word of God taken to India. Pastor Cannon lived in India many years. So that's an example of like me overlooking somebody. I mean, these are mighty men and women that have gone to India to preach and teach. And I just want to give a report on it and glorify God. Because what we are teaching in our Bible college and what the Holy Spirit is doing in our churches is exactly what the Bible says. Lifting up Christ, preaching Christ, we are not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It really has an impact. So Pastor Carl started in Mumbai, the church with the Bible school. Brian Coelho here in Bangalore started the same with a Bible college to train people. People would come. They would do Bible studies and outreaches, preach out, and there's no shortage of people. People are everywhere. People are walking the streets. They are everywhere with their motor scooters and cars, and by all means, they are all hours of the day out and about. And these two works were growing. Somebody would come from, let's say, Gujarat to go to Bible school, and then they would go back to Gujarat State. Bihar State, Sikkim here, this one, Assam, Orissa, Andhra Pradesh, this area, Chennai, down near Kerala, Coimbatore here, Punjab, a Bible study in Punjab, Rajasthan, this area. And in some cases, 5 churches, 10 churches, 20 churches, village people, persecution sometimes, the workers sometimes may get beaten up by Hindu radicals. They might go to jail for a couple days and then released. I might go back again to the jail. They see demonic activity. We mentioned this morning a young boy levitating, a woman walking up the wall of the building supernaturally by demonic activity. One thing that you could see in this video just that I want to show you tonight is the joy that was in that room with people that were from many of these different states. I think there's 150 churches in India. I might be wrong on that number. 150 different churches in India with many pastors that are learning and growing and are not afraid. And by the way, a number of pastors said to me, Pastor Schaller, we are falling and nobody follows our ministry like these people. I mean, these people tell you what the lunch wrap was about yesterday. They tell you what the morning devotional is. They tell you about the services. Nobody in all the world that follows the ministry like these people do. They watch everything. They know everything. They're learning everything. They love the Bible. I'm wondering, why is that? I think because they're a minority and they live by every word of God. I mean, they are serious. Another thing, they have a lot of respect for their elders. They respect Dr. Stevens. They respect Pastor Carl, Pastor Brian, myself, Pastor Shabelli. They love to hear the word, and they apply it. They listen to it. They apply it. They have a lot of respect for what God has given them. So when we go there, it's like, wow, like, really? Like, yeah. It's beautiful. It's love. It's faith. And it's vision. And so this morning, I brought out four things about church life, and I'll run through four of them right away, just quickly. Number one, preaching and teaching. If your church is not preaching and teaching, then probably it's a false church. What is a false church? Just like a false apostle, a false premise. What will happen if there's no word of God? Remember God said, where is my house? Where is my house? I am in the stars, in the heavens, on the earth. Where is my house that you build for me? I don't care about a building. I care about the heart of a man, the heart of a woman that trembles at my word. They respect me, and they are submitted to my word. There you go. That's the beginning of church life. That's what changed our lives. When we started to listen, many of us, we started to listen to Dr. Stevens, and he made it very clear to us, and we found ourselves before God, listening to God and trusting in him, and God gives grace to the humble. Amazing. Music can't do it. Good intentions. Comedy hour. No. Programs. Nope. Nothing can replace God's word. Nothing can do it. Like, how will a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto his word. That's the key to a good church, a healthy church. Number two, is a church is filled with worship. We are worshiping when we are listening, trembling at his word. We are worshiping when we sing the songs with all our hearts, like the songs tonight. That was such a joy. Worship. To assemble and be before God. Number three, we are nurtured in a church. Wisdom is in the assembly. It nurtures us. We are. A lot of people have compassion. They care. They do not judge. They're not walking around like a policeman, protecting the church. They are nurturing the people. They are caring about the growth of people, the growth in the faith. Number four, evangelism. A healthy church. A church with God in it, with God in the center, will end up opening our mouth. We'll end up knocking on a door. We'll end up talking at work. We'll end up sharing our faith. We'll end up inviting somebody to the church. We'll end up evangelizing. And now two more that I wanted to add to that list, and it is, I'll share them after the video. So could we play the video? Let me preface the video. During one of the sessions, Pastor Fred Ellis was, I preached a message, and I told them I'm going to do a video and walk down the aisle, and you can wave to the camera if you want. They didn't know what I would do with the video, and I didn't know either. I sent it to my wife. That was my first thought. But then I thought, wow, I want to share it with the church. So I asked Pastor Binu this morning by a text message if I could do it. He said I could. So these people are from many different states in India. They came to this convention. It's like our convention, the end of June. It's like Eurocon, but it's in India. And we just had an absolute fantastic time. So let's play the video.
He said, I've seen many people come to Christ. But I cannot explain it. Because the supernatural is unexplainable.
It
happens in a moment of time. And then Pastor Ratan said, this is a message that we need to preach. And it is a message that we do preach. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's immediately. Immediately. And then Pastor Anil, he brought out, well, Pastor John said it, it's the work of God is supernatural. But Pastor Anil said that there are other things, okay, that are immediately. Forgiveness. And man, okay, diverts back into which is not immediate.
You know, what's amazing is, you know, probably Pastor Glenn knows a lot of those people, and Pastor Suhas, you know, people, and it's amazing we are in the same body, believing the same thing, the same grace that's here amongst us. Yeah, in a dark time, in a way, in our culture, where people are turning away from God, that's okay, because that gives us the opportunity to say some profound things, and to minister the gospel to people. And when they hear and they are born again, then they need a church. They need to be taken care of. Pastor Carl and Pastor Brian in the south there in this area here, Pastor Brian and Pastor Benny is now the pastor. Pastor Carl and Susie did their work here, and now Pastor Binu and his wife, they are pastoring there. And there are many other pastors, and I just love learning who they are and what their names are. And if you know their name, they just like this shining big smile, you know. It's like, wow, it's beautiful. They have in their Bible schools, they have classes from Dr. Stevens. They get classes here from NBCNS, and many times they can't get visas to come here to visit or to go to Bible school, but God can make a way, and that can happen, and we look forward to that. We actually want to build a dormitory on our property for international students to come here. That's in our vision, and we're praying for that and how to proceed and how it's going to happen and how much money we need. And more than the money, it's the vision, what's in our hearts. What is a good church? A good church is like this one. Not perfect, But if God is present, we are so honored. And Ephesians 4 says, and this is the two added ones, things, points I want to make, is gifts. In that video, there are gifts. There's a pastor who has more than 100 people now in his church. Another pastor has about 30 churches under him. Another pastor about two churches. Young man learning and growing and seeing God work. Gifts. Jesus descended and then he ascended and he gave gifts unto men. What gifts did he give unto men? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We don't believe in the apostle gift as was with the 12, but we do believe that God sends men, and he sends them with the authority, and he sends them to bear fruit, and they can actually plant a church by preaching and teaching. Gifts of mercy, gifts of faith, gifts of miracles, gifts that we read about in our New Testament. And then the sixth thing that I want to mention that is in a church is prayer. They told me that they started praying for 2 months for this conference that you just saw. Pastor Binu came to Uricon. We had a talk, and I said, yeah, we can come. We can come to India in May. So he went back to India, and things started to come together. They found a place, and he said, we were just praying all the time, every week. We were saturating the conference with prayer. We had to get people on trains from Nepal. That's this country right here. And 72 people came from Nepal. And it was a two-day train trip. And they just packed the trains and, you know, they just came by faith. Some came from this area here, Bhutan. Where is it here, maybe? The country right here. They came from the area there nearby and so on. So that's all that I want to share tonight. Wow. We come back and we just say, there's no way that could ever happen, that this work has happened by the Holy Spirit. And we are so hungry to hear stories, like, tell us a story. Anybody have a story about a miracle, about a salvation, about casting out demons? Anybody tell a story about somebody taking up the cross and being a disciple and forsaking their mother and father and their home and their future and everything? We heard all kinds of stories. And we go away saying, there's no way unless the Word of God is preached with the Spirit of God that goes into the heart, and somebody says, I want to follow Jesus. And when they do that, and we come together, and we have the same spirit, the same mind, same heart, same God, and we rejoice in that. That's what's happening in India. But you know what's amazing? It's happening in China. It's happening in the Philippines. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in Latin America. It's happening here in Baltimore and other places in the world. And for us who have found Christ in the local assembly, it's a great treasure for us. We say, this is my life. This is how I want to live. I want to think with God. I want godly friends. I want a godly direction. I want to be delivered from temptation. I want to be encouraged. I want to be edified. I want to be enlightened. And I want to finish my course with joy. Not with a lot of money. Maybe that could happen. I don't care about it. Because the Bible says, finish your course with joy. Not with a big family. That might happen. That's not my target. Not with a lot of houses, not with a lot of kids or grandkids, not with a lot of money, not with a great reputation. I just want to finish my course with joy. That's what Jesus says. Isn't that a good word? Yeah, how can it happen? Be in a good church and be faithful to a good church and be committed to God and find yourself in the assembly and God will take care of us. And maybe you might find yourself in India one day or Nepal and God is going to take care of you. In China or Burma or Cambodia, God will take care of us. I believe, won't he? Mark 10, verse 30. Okay, so now we'll have the water baptism from Federal Hill, and we'll move the chairs. But before we do that, would you have a prayer with me for salvation call? You're listening tonight, and you want Jesus in your life. We hope you are thirsty for him. There is no one like him. He's the fairest of 10,000. Yeah, no man cares for my soul, the psalmist said. No man cares for my soul. No man cares for my soul, but Jesus does. He cares for your soul. He washes you clean. He forgives you of your sin. He puts your name in his book. He calls you and put your trust in him personally tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, for there is no other salvation. There is no salvation in any other name but the name of Christ. The Christ, the answer. In Jesus' name, trust him. Amen.